This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
All one word at yahoo.com.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank y'all. You, have Becky. A good night, and Hot and Bothered is out.
Good night.
Yo, peace. This is Talib Kweli, the CEO of Blacksmith, and I stand in support of the survivors of Hurricane Rita and Katrina. On August 29, 2005, over 2,000 people lost their lives and 500,000 lost their homes. 2 years later, hundreds of thousands of people are still displaced, many of them poor and homeless. I urge you to come out to two historic events on the second anniversary of the storm. On Wednesday, August 29, 2007, march with the People's Hurricane Relief Fund and thousands of survivors from the Industrial Canal to Congo Square in commemoration of our struggle and to fight for the right to return. The march will be followed by an international tribunal to put the United States government on trial for human rights violations. For more information, go to www.peopleshurricane.org. That's www.peopleshurricane.org. Peace.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
Baby, what's your secret? Nothing you know. You can see right through me, deep into my soul. Maybe you've got magic.
stop my happiness, 'cause I like the way I am. And you just can't stop my knife and fork when I see a Christmas ham. So if you don't like the way I look, well, I just don't give a damn. 'Cause the world keeps spinning round and round, and my heart's beating time to the speed of sound. I was born till I heard the drums, then I found my way. 'Cause you can't stop the beat. Ever since this old world began, a woman found an extra sugar, she can take up a man. So I'm gonna shake and shimmy, it's the best that I can today. 'Cause you can't stop the motion of the ocean of the sun in the sky. You can wonder if you wanna, but I never ask why. And if you try to pull me down, I'm gonna spin your ISA. 'Cause you can't stop the beat.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
It's 2 a.m. on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, we're celebrating 6 days without gunfire.
Ooh!
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is John Doe, no relation to Emmett Abate. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper, and I'm the other one.
Yeah,
I used my real name.
We here at After Hours,
yes,
are locked and loaded to bring you the highest caliber programming that we can bring to you.
We're just not a shot in the dark.
Yes,
know?
Yes. By the way, KPFT is the new KPFT.
Yes.
Yes. Keep programmers from terrorists.
Ooh. And speak.
We started off the show with themed music.
Themed music, of course. A piece that I thought of, I've been thinking of this week, for a couple of reasons. For the recent happenings here at the station. And it's an old disco song that we used to play long ago. And in a couple of weeks, we've got our 20th anniversary coming up. So I kind of want to, between now and then, focus on some of the older music.
And we were playing vinyl, people.
Yeah, that's right. That was vinyl. That was Paul Parker.
My God, I queued up a record.
With...
I'm old enough to know what a record is.
Produced by Mark Rowley, called Right on Target.
I'm going to put these back on the floor where we found them.
Which I thought was kind of apropos for this week.
Right on Target.
And then you had one that...
You Can't Stop the Beat.
There you go.
Kind of a little dedication to those who drive white cars.
Yes.
Slowly.
Very slowly.
I drive a white car, but I drive it.
Like, you drive it really fast.
Like a bat out of hell.
Okay.
Yes, we've had our little bit of fun. It's been a crazy week.
It sure has.
You know, I spent an hour for Jimmy looking for a pink flak jacket.
And he just couldn't find one.
If you can find one online, it's
so After Hours. So I'm flakless tonight.
Yeah. I, of course...
You have a lovely
yes
green one.
Yes, I,
that covers your left breast.
I got it from the Janet Jackson line.
I see.
So. Hey, we're volunteers. My budget only limits me to the 99-cent store.
Right.
If I get a raise, maybe I'll go to Dollar Tree. But,
there,
you know.
Okay.
As with the station, we work with what we got.
Yes.
Can I get this chair any closer to the damn mic? I'm going to tuck my belly up on the control panel here.
Well, actually, they put up a, let's see, a layer of Lexan, half-inch Lexan. Whatever Lexan is, it's
should be a registered
to
mark after
protect
that.
Us here. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I also put the cover over the from the turntables in the upright position.
Yes.
So
yes, we certainly did.
Yeah,
let's see. We've got a special After Hours quickie tonight. We've got Chris coming in for the Black on Black segment.
Yeah, I saw him through the security camera.
Oh, he's here?
Yeah.
Lovely. And we've got a lot of stuff going on in the community, especially today. My God, there's a bunch of stuff going on today. I just can't even believe it.
Yeah, here, testify to me. Look, so Christine will believe me. Okay, the car's gone by. I was going to say, you can see the cars there. I loved all that discussion on LSA about this.
Yeah, well, it shows the parking lot and sort of the street, but you really can't see much. Yeah, I will. And anyway.
But we've got Roy here, and I'll tell you, I can't tell you how much secure I feel knowing that Roy's in the building.
Yeah, because...
I need something to hide behind.
It can be a really high-powered rifle, and it won't go through him. So I feel a lot safer.
See how quickly he responds to that.
Okay. Things going on later on today. The Gong Show, Part 2.
Part 2?
D-E-U-X. Yes, that's presented by Duchess of ICOH, Tess Tamir. That's happening tonight at EJ's at 7 p.m. Oh, yes, the gong show. You can pay to keep people on stage or get them gonged off. Any talent, and we use this term loosely, goes. And the MC has final discretion if a person gets gonged or not. So, boy, you've got to really be strong there.
And I'm just thinking of the word association here. Loosely,
yes.
Gong, and EJs.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't think too deep.
You fill in your own blanks, people.
Then, let's see. Also, it's Diva Citrine is doing a benefit show on her way to Miss Texas U.S. of A. at Large. That's happening at Club Crystal. That's the new Club Energy.
Oh.
And that's at 59 South at Hillcroft, next to Colorado. That's the one with all the big lights on it, flashing and stuff.
The titty bar.
Yeah. And with Diva, it's going to be Vanessa Brandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, Monica Adams, Michael Brandon, Amanda Nicole, Frida Sophia, Leslie Love, Selena St. James, Oziel Milos, and more. Then, the Colt 45 AIDS Trouble Fund show, Bare Bones, will be at the BRB at 7 p.m. Everyone is invited to come and enjoy the show. The show is open to all performers. Bare Bones performers are allowed one piece of their normal stage wear. This reflects how people with AIDS are living day to day with just the bare minimum of their needs being met. This is an annual show that normally Rose puts on, but she's just been through all of the elections at ICOH for Emperor and Empress,
mm-hmm.
and so she's probably going to be nursing a headache tomorrow, would be my guess. Then, Corona Productions presents Miss Space City Gay Pride Pageant. That's happening also August the 19th at 7 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. That's with MC Miss Lillian Devereaux, special guest Miss Southern Comfort, Miss Vicky Holiday, Mr. Jose Silvas, who is Mr. Gay Pride 2008, Miss Marsha Mink, Miss Anne Marie Gill, Miss Lily H. Crawford, and other guests. So, whoa. That's what that is. Tony's. That's the BRB. That's Club Crystal. And EJ's all doing fundraisers tomorrow night at 7-ish.
So if you can't find your place to drop money...
Woo! I mean to tell you. And all,
we at the station
all
here,
for a good cause. All for a good cause. And with, let's see, ICOH, of course, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., you can go to Mary's for breakfast and have your favorite libation a little earlier than normal. And, gosh... Then, next Friday at 8:30, Gerald and is in the college is putting on the Earthquake Show. That is a fundraiser for the Earthquake Scholarship Fund that's being set up by ICOH. And you've got a few things over there.
Yes, let's see. Resurrection Singers debut.
Ah.
This Sunday.
Sunday.
At 9 and 11 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Don't miss the debut of the new ensemble, the Resurrection Singers. This new group, directed by Stephen Couch, will enliven your spirit and lift you into the worship of God. Another special feature this Sunday is soprano Julia Zarnik singing Defying Gravity at both of the services. Under the gifted leadership of Stephen Couch, Resurrection MCC's music and worship program is growing in excellence each week. Continue to save two dates in 2007 highlights Reverend Carolyn Mobley's The Gift of Love worship celebration at 9 and 10 on Sunday, September 2nd, and Queer Casino featuring celebrity Martha Wash on the evening of Saturday, September 8th. This is our biggest single fundraiser of the year. Tickets are $50 and available for purchase online now. For more information, you can go to resurrectionmcc.org. On Sunday, Babel takes place over at the 611 patio from 2 to 3 p.m. Houston Leather Boys present Babel, Boys and Boys Blending Life Experiences. It's a 1 to 1.5 hour monthly educational seminar that's open to all subs in the Houston community. It was created to give all subs in the community a chance to share information, educate, and support each other and create a stronger leather community. It says for more information, go to their website, but it's not listed on here.
Oh. Well, that's kind of tacky.
So I'm going to have to go to the site that I know will give me that email, that web address for that.
Okay.
And that's louieweekend.com. And get that to come up, and I'll give you that information here.
Okay.
Spankfest 2007.
Ooh.
August 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Next weekend.
The run includes a weekend package of Texas Finger Foods Buffet dinner, the official Spankfest t-shirt, and a commemorative paddle.
Texas Finger Foods at Spankfest.
Yeah. Well, see, they bumped the Big Men's Club burgers on Saturday.
Bump them?
Yeah. Well, there are going to be events going on in that area where we do that. So there's going to be other toasted buns being provided that night.
I see.
On-site registration occurs at the Ripcord, 715 Fairview.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, go to groups.yahoo.com/group/SpankFestHouston.
Hmm.
And let's see. The address for the Babel information. Click on that. HoustonLeatherBoys.net. And
just go there. You'll find it.
Yeah. And there's.
It's not saved on your favorites.
HoustonLeatherBoys.net.
.net.
Okay.
Oh, they've got the Bondage Bear on their website.
Isn't that sweet?
Have you seen the Bondage Bear?
Not up close and personal. Is that green?
Yeah.
Is green like for bondage or something?
I don't know. But that's one of the Bondage Bears.
Okay.
They were... let's see, what is the thing this month? The topic this month is Forgotten Communication. Presented by someone you heard here last week, Master Buzz Lawson.
Ah, I see.
And... Oh, let's just go into our quickie.
Oh, okay.
Is it time for the quickie?
You've
got to pull it?
Well, I got to go into the free fire zone here and get some music. Talk amongst yourselves.
Don't forget your breast shield.
Cover me!
Our after hours quickie this evening is Johnny.
Well, hello.
Hello, and you have a business.
Yes, I do.
That we touched on last week, but we didn't have a whole lot of time because there was so much going on.
Yes, including been a busy week.
Yes, including a fundraiser that we had going on here.
Yes.
So which turned out to be extremely successful.
Yes, I noticed it turned out to be very successful.
Yes,
beautiful.
We went over goal, which is always wonderful. But you have a business, and what is the name of it?
The name of my business is One Stop Land Service, and I am
One Stop Land
One
Service.
Call to get it all.
Now, you explained a little bit about it, but I didn't really get it.
Well, what One Stop is I'm involved in many different aspects of land, including land surveying, real estate. Real estate agents can go to my website and list their houses for sale for free, and we don't charge them anything. And they just eat that up.
Sure, who wouldn't?
But a majority of our business comes from title companies and mortgage companies and a lot of gay realtors here in the Montrose area.
So you do surveying, is
land
that
surveying,
it?
Yes.
Okay. And what else?
We do land surveying. We do mortgage services, appraisal services, title company services, realtors, environmental investigations.
Mm-hmm.
If you're moving...
Environmental investigations.
Yes. Because apparently a lot of people like to dispose of things that shouldn't be going into the environment.
Oh, okay.
That kind
of
thing.
Okay, so you check that out. Okay.
Right.
Now, why do you have to have land surveys?
So the government can tax you properly.
But, you know, if somebody owns a piece of land, they know where the boundaries are.
Well, let's say you buy a house and you didn't have a pool when you bought that house. And then you had a pool, underground pool put in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not paying for those upgrades on the house. So you get a land survey and you need a new land survey.
So the land survey is just not where the boundaries are.
Right, right. It shows your little house on there,
uh-huh.
Your little garage and stuff like that.
Oh, and you know, big oak trees or...
All that fun stuff.
All that kind of fun stuff.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So if I have a pool installed, then...
You need an updated land survey.
Well, I don't want one because that would be more taxes. But
right, of course, of course. But usually people have to get land surveys when they buy or sell their house because, you know, they've installed a pool or whatever.
Oh, okay.
For the new sellers such.
And
you can check out our website at www.onestopls.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can see all the information on there. You can also see the pictures of the shooting that happened here.
Oh, really?
Monday as well.
Really?
And, of course, pictures of you and us at the station.
Oh, yes, I saw those. It's incredible.
There's also a link on there for kpft.org to help them raise money for
mm-hmm.
the recent tragedy that's happened here.
Yes.
So that's most definitely important as well.
But I want to know, I want real estate agents would use your services.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
about... individuals.
Private individuals. I do a lot of business with private individuals. Here lately, due to all the market fluctuation with this whole mortgage thing going on.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of that, hasn't
I've been
there?
Seeing a lot of cash deals going on. People that don't want to involve the title company or the mortgage company
mm-hmm.
in that process. So they're just like, we need a land survey. Here's the cash. We're not going to the title company. Just get it done. So,
oh, okay.
Yep. And, oh, there's a lot. For some reason, a lot of stuff's going on in Dallas. What's the deal with Dallas?
I don't know.
I guess everybody's selling their house in Dallas.
Well, let's see. It's hotter in the summer and colder in the winter than Houston. I don't know what's going on in Dallas.
I haven't been, so. I've never been to Dallas.
Really?
No.
I haven't been there in many, many years.
When we evacuated for the hurricane last year, mm-hmm. we were supposed to go to Dallas, but we never made it.
Never quite made it, no.
My friend Debbie made it to Dallas, of course, but
mm-hmm.
so Debbie does Dallas,
yeah.
Of course.
That
was the running joke for quite a long time.
I'll bet it was.
But we at One Stop, we're involved in a many different number of things. We
mm-hmm.
we coordinate land surveying services, mortgage services. There for a while, I'd gotten to the mortgage side of the business, which is a very interesting place to be. It's very interesting to see all the little fees that they can tack on to
you. Yeah.
Here's a... You sign the paper, there's a signature fee and
oh my goodness.
A finger lifting fee. My favorite was a guy that charged a PMOF fee.
What's that?
Piss me off fee.
Oh!
Because the guy that was filling out the loan application wasn't the most pleasant guy to deal with.
I see.
Let's just say those people got audited and their loan no longer in business. But, so after that incident, we do a full background check on anybody that we accept into our business,
mm-hmm.
any land surveying company that wants to join on to us, any mortgage company that wants to join on to our services. We're directly involved in the land surveying, and a majority of the other time, we kind of delegate the other stuff to businesses that are there in our coordination services.
But you do a lot of business with the gay community.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the Outsmart magazine is a good business material for me because there's a lot of gay realtors that advertise.
Yes.
For example,
yes.
One of my good friends, Brian Boyle,
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't sell your house in, I believe, 29 or 39 days, he'll sell it for free.
What?
Yes. So he works for Keller Williams, and he's an awesome real estate agent.
He's got to be.
Yes,
he can make that kind
if
of
if he can
deal.
Tell you he'll sell it for free, he has to be doing something right.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Because I am just clueless with the whole real estate thing.
You know, I've been...
Being a lifelong renter. But
My lover owns a duplex, and he's been thinking about either selling it and getting into something else, or maybe a small complex for him and I as a little moneymaker.
You should sell that something. And get you some rental properties and start bringing in some...
Well, you know, I'm kind of looking for a small complex with a pool in the Montrose.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to get you talking with some of my agents and see
maybe
what we
that's what we need to do.
Woo-ha-ha.
Maybe that's what we need to do.
Oh, goodness.
Because, you know, I'm up there in age. I am an aged person. And so, no, I mean, it comes to a point in your life where you have to think, okay, where do I want to spend the last years of my life?
Yes.
And what kind of surroundings do I want? And what do I, you know...
And Houston's a great place to be. I love coming back here. Every time I go on vacation, I'm like, yes, back to Houston.
But, you know, I don't want a single-family house.
Right.
I'm used to living in a complex, small complex.
With a smaller community.
Yes. And I think that's what I'd kind of like to do.
Well, I'm sure you have many options with all the new construction, especially that's going on over here.
The problem is there's not a lot of new construction on a small apartment complexes, so it would probably have to be an older unit.
Type unit.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, and the Montrose would probably be good for a smaller, older unit. You know, although we could afford it, I don't think I want to buy a complex that's got 200 apartments,
right.
You know.
I don't think we survey anything over a fourplex or whatever,
really?
whatever you call that, Ryan.
Yeah, and that's actually what we thought of first, the fourplex, which would be nice.
Have a little pool in the middle.
Yeah,
of everything.
Yeah, yeah. So you can help me out with that.
Most definitely.
And how do we get a hold of you?
My business card right here, and you can go to my website at www.onestopls.com.
Okay, wait a minute. That's way too fast. If I'm trying to, I'm on the radio. I'm listening to the radio, and I'm trying to write this down. So
it's www.onestopls.com, or you can give our office a call.
One Stop LS
Land Service.
Okay.
Or you can give our office a call.
Phone number
832-202-9668. But a good way to get a hold of us is through the email, and we have a 24-hour email system that'll always respond to you. So
okay. That's fabulous.
We always like to be there for our clients because they're so needy. Especially the gay ones.
Oh, I can just imagine. And bitchy, too.
Oh, the Johnson. Gay realtors, I'll tell you.
Well, no, because I think with gay people, they probably know exactly what they want.
They know what they want, and they know when they want it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I like
and
doing...
And don't try to give us anything we don't want.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love doing business with gay people. Yeah, a lot of my business comes from the Montrose area and a lot of
Does
the realtors
it?
Around here, so I'm definitely going to support them.
Good.
Most
Good.
Definitely.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being our quickie.
Thank you for letting me be your quickie.
Chris!
Anytime.
Can you take it away?
I'm going to need the keys to the library.
Mr. Calgon.
I think there may be a CD in there that I need.
I know that is so wrong.
We'll see you in
But night. I do have a...
And who do you have to... Who do you need to help you find this?
No, I'm serious.
You really are serious.
Yeah. I got... This is a flirtations emergency, and you don't have the one I need.
Oh, okay.
So possibly you put it in the archives.
Possibly.
But I found it appropriate. It's not a song that's appropriate. It's the title.
It's the title.
Johnny Dangerous, from his CD, Armed and Dangerously.
Here we go.
Topsy-turvy. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Over there, like you got this. Has no idea what. shorties and so I say, I'ma make a move and let him know that he's met his match. Cause this hot tail is free. Gonna walk past, get his attention, lick my lips, watch him stare down. And if fantasize about my breeze, he wants hair down. What's up, little man? What's your name? Who you here with? Hey, the name's Johnny. I'm just having a beer with my friends on the other side, watching my game time. Cause none of them believe I could take any man home tonight. It's all in the swag and he's took. Wanna take me home? I'll see your fool's late. Don't you call the way that was long. Damn, stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Took me to his house, had his own. I was quite impressed. Hung all on my neck, grabbed my pants, got me undressed. Looked all on my back, held me tight, began to moan. The feeling of his breath against my ear, had me in stone. Trying to be like Britney, though I'm all type of freak. Cause he had the type of spear, well you get the gist. Kissed me on my nose, pulled my head, and then held my head. Watched my eyes roll, in the back of my head. Went for the goods, how we stood. And Johnny absolute, time to knock boots, and play on the skin flute. Had me all weak, I was hope for years of this. His lips against my mouth, this is cool like a Hershey kiss. Stop the journey, Jerry, work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty, hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop the journey, Jerry, work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty, hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop the journey, Jerry, work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty, hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop the journey, Jerry, work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty, hurt me, daddy, hurt me.
Ooh, the way you move and groove, your body next to mine. Damn, the way you slam, just like a man, when you're on the ground. And baby, how you moan and groan when you're all kissing me. You got my heart unlocked with that thing, still can't forget the key. And never been touched like this before from any other dude. It never been this easy to get Johnny in the mood. Now normally this weak, but oh how it pleases me. So take it away, baby, please stop teasing. Can't hold it anymore, don't want it to end. Then I cleaned up and we did it again. Now I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Cause a hard man, baby, is so good to find.
Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me. Stop, stay turning, turn me. Work me, copy, work me. Talk me dirty, dirty. Hurt me, daddy, hurt me.
Touch me, tease me, touch me, tease me, touch me, baby, tease me, touch me.
Johnny Dangerous from the CD Armed and Dangerously. Seems like the appropriate album.
Yes, it is.
I want to bring everyone a couple of thoughts on some things here. Outsmart magazine is doing their gayest and greatest.
Yes, they are.
And, of course, there's a couple places in there you can slap in KPFT.
Oh, quite a few.
And I'm also starting the drive now for the Houston Press.
The Houston Press is doing their latest thing.
That's a little thing. I believe it's number 51. And I'd like people to write in for your nomination for Best Gun Range KPFT.
There you go.
Christopher must not be listening to me because I figured I'd get a look on that one.
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
Houston Press is running a best of right now. Best of Houston. And one of the categories is Best Gun Range. And I'm trying to get KPFT nominated.
For that.
I think we deserve it. I'm putting in the push now. You know.
Bren will be so proud of you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. We could use a few more awards on something different.
Well, you have a point there.
Yeah, of course I have a point. I always do. Now you go run off to the safety of the back patio.
Of course I am. As soon as possible.
All right. So let me get the music queued up to start Christopher's segment.
Okay.
Got to push this button.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this, it's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed.
Blackmailed.
See a real life is fearless. deal. Sign your name on a blacklist. And all this, it's American history.
Thank you for joining us on Black on Black on KPFT 90.1. We are so happy to be here. And in the studio as guests, we have Billy and Kevin with us. You gentlemen can say good morning or good night or
good morning.
good morning.
We have a very interesting topic that was spurred by a book entitled From Top to Bottom by author Michael Christopher. You need to run out and get this book because the book is about what it is entitled, From Top to Bottom. It is the story of a young man in a relationship of approximately 2 years who goes on a business trip and encounters a young man who would like to have sex with him, and he wants this young man to, can we say this on air? He wants this young man to penetrate him. Can we say that?
Yeah, you can say penetrate.
Okay.
We play a song called Pop You in the Pooper. I think you can say the word penetrate.
Okay. Well, it's an excellent book because from that point, the storyline goes into this young man trying to figure out his sexual role in his current relationship. And we actually had a book club meeting today with the author. The author's name is Michael Christopher. So if you go Google, we're not sure about the website, but it's From Top to Bottom by author Michael Christopher. Absolutely excellent book. It's an easy read. For me, it is one of the best black same gender loving books in this genre since Elin Harris's Just As I Am. The writing is excellent. It's not inundated with sex, so you really get the point. And it brings up the issue of sexual role typecasting. And I know within the black same gender loving community, there is a huge issue concerning sexual role typecasting where we will look at someone and assume that they take a certain position in the bedroom without even asking them. And so tonight's commentary and dialogue will be concerning how we have come to this point. Is it fair? And to our listeners who are listening, who are same gender loving men, how did you come into your sexual role within the confines of your relationship? Was it by choice, chance, or circumstance? So one of the first things that I'll do is I'm going to put my two guests on the spot, and please know that I love them both dearly. Their dedication, Billy, for one who just got off of work, his friendship is priceless to me. He, through all of his tiredness, still made the walk with me here, so I thank you for that, Billy. And Kevin is a trooper as always. So we're going to go right into it and ask the question: how do you come into your sexual role, by choice, circumstance, or chance? Or do you want time to think about it? You want me to give my little spill?
Yeah,
on
give,
me
give
oh okay
spin.
I'll give my spill. I was explaining to Kevin outside that I think mine came in by circumstance. Being young, I didn't come out till I was 23. I lost my virginity to a Catholic priest in Atlanta, Georgia. And I think it was his expectation of me is what first put me in the line of whatever my sexual role would happen to be. And as time progressed, I just fell off into that because I thought, based on comments that people would make about my body type and my mannerisms, that this is where you're supposed to be. And so I kind of followed along in the lines with that until one day something happened and somebody shocked me by asking me to do something different. And I experienced that. I'm like, oh, this is what all the hoopla is about on the other end. So now there's a different story to be told in reference to that. But it was certainly by circumstance. At this point in my life, it is by choice. And I think with even even within the black same gender loving community, we look at each other and assume what that person does in the bedroom without taking the time to get to know them or even ask them. And so we're delegating or pushing off on people something based on what we think about them or what they look like or how they move. So the question goes back to the two guests. How did you or how do you think you come into your sexual role?
I think for myself, it's a combination of all three: choice, circumstances, and chance. Definitely, everything that I've done in life, when it came to sex-wise, it has been by choice. Circumstance, it's just natural for me to be to do what I do sexually. And you said choice, circumstance, and chance. When given opportunity, I've taken I've did what I've done on by chance. So, so I'll say a combination of all three for myself.
Do you think you would ever try something different?
No. I'm comfortable with what I'm doing now, so okay. No, and I'm good at what I do, so no, it's definitely no.
Alrighty then.
And I'm sitting here reflecting, and I definitely think the circumstance and the choice. Having my first experience in the military, and at that time, definitely, probably more so feeling the need to fit in a certain box and take on a certain position and role. At the time I was still dating women, and so I think I naturally kind of like Billy, I actually naturally fell into my role, and I'm comfortable there. But it's interesting reading the book that you mentioned earlier, From Top to Bottom, Michael Christopher. The book actually made me stop and think, why did I make that choice then? And now as we're talking about it, I realize what was going on in my life at the time, the military, the whole machismo attitude and everything. Would it have been any different if I had been a couple of years younger?
Okay.
Not in the military, coming out of high school, but, I'm pleased, I'm happy. And like Billy said, I'm good at what I do. So.
are same gender loving men obsessed with trying to parallel heterosexual sex roles?
Obsessed. That's a strong word.
Obsessed. Yeah.
I wouldn't. Well, I can't speak for others when it comes to that type of thing. I think that's more of a personal type thing. It varies from person to person. Some people in this lifestyle do try to emulate more heterosexual type roles or whatever. But for the most part, I think it's what you feel comfortable doing. It's a personal thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think we talked earlier today at the meeting, is that a lot of times when we look at a couple, we attempt to assume, okay, who's doing what in there, and we try to relate. A lot of times, well, that's the woman, and then that's...
You can't always do that, because sometimes the roles are definitely, they could be, things aren't always the way that they appear to be.
That's true, but remember, we were at, and both of you remember, we were at the men's gathering meeting, and one of the young men in the room made the statement that, I'm looking for a relationship, I'm looking to be somebody's wife, and I'm looking to find my husband. I don't know if you all remember that.
I do, actually. Okay. I do remember that.
So even I think in some form we are obsessed, because that's the only model that's there. So you're trying to emulate something that,
well, with some persons it's a little bit more obvious. They tend, well, I guess it's a little bit more obvious what role that they we assume that they take on sexually than it is for others. Some of us are a little bit more effeminate looking. Some of us are more masculine looking.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't mean when you're in someone's bedroom that you can automatically assume that those roles apply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Can an individual determine their sexual role preference without experiencing being both top and bottom at one point? So can you safely say that I'm comfortable in what I do now if I just do one thing and I've never experienced the other thing?
I think that I can.
Okay.
That's how I've always I know that for me there's no other choice but to be this way that I'm comfortable with what I do.
Okay.
When it comes to you know me and my sexuality, and I just it just comes naturally for me.
So there's no need to try.
No, why try something when you know
when you have work.
Right. Okay. Right.
You know, actually, interestingly enough, I had a moment a couple months ago where I actually kind of said to myself out loud that I felt a moment of jealousy for you know someone that is a versatile person. I had that moment because I realized that there was something that I was missing sexually. And wondering if I I'm depriving myself.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was a moment, you know, and I was kind of like,
well, I'm thinking the only way that probably you can, let's say, instead of that being a jealousy or whatever, maybe you may want to try something a little different sometime.
Well, you know, actually, jealousy may be too strong of a word, but I actually kind of had a moment where I was like, you know, have I placed some limitations?
Okay.
And so it was a moment, and, you know, actually what it was a moment of growth for me to even have that reflection, reflect. That was my thought. That was a moment of growth, and I was proud of it. You know,
okay.
A couple months ago, I've moved past it, but still, you know, it was a moment. So.
Okay.
Well, that's good that you got in contact with that side of yourself
definitely,
or whatever.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a character in the book from top to bottom, and the character's name is it Petey or Pete?
Petey.
Petey. And Petey is was purposely thrown into the mix of the book by the writer. And Petey is an effeminate top. And there is a part in the book when Petey is expressing his sexual role to some very, as they're entitled, manly men in the book. And they bust out laughing hysterically. They can't get over the fact that Petey, who is otherwise flaming in the book, is strictly a top. Although at one time he was a bottom, he is now a strictly a top. Do you think that the term effeminate top is a contradictive term based on the way our community is set up right now?
I was going to say in this community, usually it's when you're known for doing one thing in particular, and then you want to all of a sudden, especially when it comes to the, I can't say even especially when it comes to the feminine part, because sometimes if you are considered to be that masculine top male or whatever, and then you want to try and switch over or whatever, that can sometimes bring you strikes in the community. And the same thing for the ones for an effeminate male to go over and say, well, okay, I'm top now. That would probably be a problem for some. Now, I'm not saying that it's not possible and it can't be done or whatever, but the community that I know, to switch roles like that?
Mm-mm. Well, there's an interesting point, and that's why I wish you were at the book club meeting. The writer made the point to say that there are some people who, if you want a pure man, I don't want a man that's ever been penetrated. I don't want a man that's ever done oral copulation or whatever, that takes him down a peg or two.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that's kind of what could happen if someone...
Well, I'll put it this way. We have a term that's usually said today, that's usually said sometimes, especially when it comes to the guy that decides that he's going to top one minute and then decides he's going to go bottom. Today's trade, tomorrow's competition. So...
Okay. So, with the effeminate time, the first thing that we do when we see an effeminate man, do we all just automatically relate his sexual role with his mannerisms?
Definitely.
If he's effeminate, yeah, then he has to be a bottom.
Yeah,
yes,
we do, but it's unfortunate because, you know, the two really shouldn't go together. There are masculine bottoms, mm-hmm, you know, and there are feminine bottoms, feminine, mm-hmm, tops, you know, and, but we do make that connection, and a lot of us, and a lot of it's our old school thoughts, mm-hmm, old school way of, you know, thinking and, you know, placement, so.
I think that it's interesting, too, that sometimes you find guys that are in the community that will tell you that they don't like labels. Mm-hmm. Don't label me. And that could be different in the sense that when it comes time to making a connection in the bedroom or whatever, you may not know what to expect, although some persons will go whatever route that, you know, you choose to go with them. But I'm for myself, I'm more of the type. I like definitely defined roles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more comfortable with that.
Okay. Talking about labels, mm-hmm, we say we don't like them, but are they necessary?
For me, it would be.
Do we actually need labels?
For myself, it's necessary for myself.
Because I think...
Labels through society or through any relationships? What do you...
I'm thinking that we're speaking on if it for the bedroom. Now, labeling in society or whatever, although we do, that's done too. It's okay. Not always right, but, you know, when it comes to more personal issues, I don't like surprises, so.
Okay.
Well, actually, that was part of the conversation earlier today, that, you know, we are in a time where this conversation in most situations comes up very early. That way people know how they're going to move forward in that newfound relationship. And is it something that I want to maintain?
And I think somebody else brought, is that a deal breaker? If we're not sexually compatible, but we're compatible in every other area, but if we're not sexually compatible, is that a deal breaker for the relationship?
I can't say that I've seen some relationships where you've had two people that are of the same role and they still continue to carry on the relationship.
Okay.
When it comes to certain things, sometimes they may choose to bring a third party in and add a little bit of spice. So I guess a personal preference when it comes to that too.
How much influence do you think society's views have on a gay man's sexual role preference, or what he will admit to? So as far as society, how big of an influence does society have on me and my proclamation of what my sexual role
I think they're definitely more comfortable with the more masculine type guy. When it comes to effeminate guys, there's always been a little bit of discomfort with, mm-hmm, it. I know for myself, some people, if they're gay friendly, they warm up. For those that aren't, though, you know, it's always that wall there of, mm-hmm, let me hurry up and get away from this, or let me not associate with this, because I don't guilt by association, okay, type thing or whatever. And if you talk to this guy, do this with this, that, or whatever, I know that you know, somebody's gonna I'll be opening myself up to someone thinking that I'm this way or whatever.
Okay. Now, I have, not that I disagree, but here's the other side, that I think people are more uncomfortable with men that they are unable to determine their sexuality. If I come, I believe a lot, especially straight men, if they come across a man that's just like them, I hate this term, but straight acting, that they're more uncomfortable with him.
I disagree with you on that.
He blends in too easily.
I disagree
with you. Now, I believe they're more afraid of him but they have a larger disdain for effeminate men.
Femophobia.
Femophobia, but I think their reaction to the two are different, that they're actually more fearful of the one that they can't pick out, but they have a disdain or a huge dislike for the one that they think that they can tell or that they assume is. But the man that's the man that's able to blend in, I think they have a fear of him.
They may have a fear, but they have a certain comfort level with that guy also.
Okay.
Because we really can't tell exactly what he is. So until he does something or whatever,
okay,
to try to, I guess, entice me or do something to them personally or, mm-hmm, or whatever. I think their comfort level is a little bit more comfortable. They're a little bit more comfortable with,
okay,
that instead of an effeminate man.
Okay.
You see, an effeminate man is guilt by association. And if it's when they see, well, oh, okay, I don't want a part of this or whatever because I can't conversate with it. I can't do this or that or whatever with this individual because he's
doing it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
They'll automatically assume that I'm either with this person or there's an interest or something like that.
Okay.
So
I have to push a magic button here for a second.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM and Galveston 89.5 FM.
I love that man's voice.
Why do you think I play it? You haven't guessed yet? I'm evil?
Yeah. You better watch out. That window.
I came in here wearing a child's plastic flak jacket. If you can't realize I'm evil yet. I just voted for KPFT to be voted to be named Best Gun Range on the Houston Press website.
That's funny.
So, yes, I am evil.
Did you have something, Kevin?
I was listening to Billy, and I was actually thinking, I'm thinking about the workplace for myself, and I would actually almost say on edge. I think often even in conversation, I watch some coworkers. I think they're on edge around me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hear me speak of a girlfriend or anything, but at the same time, I think, because of the society we're in now, I don't hear some of the bashing statements that I think I would normally hear if they felt,
within the feminine man.
It's interesting, you know, being a part of that and watching that process also. Because I've heard the statements when I'm in my office and they're in the hallway.
Are you for real?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Nothing major.
Well, with yourself, there's always a possibility. You know, we don't know, but then again, he hasn't shown us that he is or he isn't or whatever.
Exactly.
So that's that question mark behind you.
Right.
So they can't quite figure it out.
Someone's this statement, it makes them question their own. You think it makes them question their own sexuality?
Oh, definitely.
He acts like me. He looks like me, but he has the ability to jump
the
fence.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Because you know, they're getting a the picture that they're now seeing is not, you know, the stereotype. So
exactly.
If this person is like this, you know, I have my own thoughts. You know, what does that say about me? So, I think it definitely makes people question.
Okay.
Yeah.
How important is sexual role determination to the stability of a relationship?
The stability of a relationship.
How important?
I'll say, I think, in order from what I've seen and what I've always thought, that a relationship is more than just about sex. So if you're basing it just, if it's a relationship that's just based on sex and you've got two persons that are in conflicting roles or whatever, I don't think that it would probably last very long.
Okay.
Those that are comfortable in whatever role that they choose to play, bad choice of word, but whatever a role that they choose to take on or whatever,
okay.
if they're comfortable with that, and both are comfortable with that, then it probably would be a relationship that'll work. But if it's conflicting roles or whatever, sometimes from what I've seen, just the slightest little thing could cause a breakup.
Well, that's actually what happened in the book. Mm-hmm. You had Virgil and Rodney, mm-hmm. and they had been in roles that. There was no conflict until Virgil comes across this individual that mm-hmm. actually caused him to question,
mm-hmm.
what if, you know, this is something I wanted. So
exactly.
He goes to his partner wanting to, you know, partake, and the partner just couldn't. We found out today, broke the relationship up. It mm-hmm. ended the relationship. I didn't think that they ended, but, you know, the author told us that they did end, mm-hmm. you know, so... It can't be a problem.
Yeah.
One of the greatest lines in that book is between Dexter and Clinton. And Dexter is in the relationship at the top, and Clinton has the sole role of the bottom. And they're talking, and Dexter makes the statement that Clinton is a little soft, so he doesn't expect him to be as manly or expect him to want to top at all, because you're, in his words, you are a little soft. And he makes the statement that he would not be caught dead as a bottom. So Clinton asks him, "Do you love me?" And Dexter says, "Yes, I do love you." But Clinton says the most powerful thing I've ever heard. He said, "How can you love a man that you would hate to be?" And so that shows where we've talked amongst us in our own private conversations and together. We've talked about the self-hatred that lies within some members of the community. And in fact, if I make the statement, I wouldn't dare, you know, bottoming is only for sissies or somebody that's trying to be a woman. But you turn around and you're in a relationship with somebody that'll only bottom. You are not looking at them as a full-fledged man. You're looking at them as less than a man. So how can you, what type of relationship can that be besides a sexual one, where who you are as a man, I would not dare be caught at. I mean, I could not be you. I don't think you're a man, really. So what kind of effect do you think there are a number of those relationships going on right now?
Relationships of disrespect? Yeah.
Okay.
For myself, I consider myself to be a bossy bottom.
You've had
to take on the role of being, being soft and pink or whatever when it comes to the sex role. No, if there's something going on there that I don't particularly agree with or don't like or whatever,
okay.
Believe me, I'll turn it into a situation where it goes in my direction where I get what I want out of it.
Okay.
And at the same time, trying to please the other individual too.
Okay.
But soft and pink at times in the bed, no. I don't usually...
Okay.
No.
Now, do you think in the book, because you've read it, Kevin, do you think that was Dexter's way of retaining some form of connection to the heterosexual world by only one topping and looking at men who do bottom or who only bottom as less than men? To me, that was his way of retaining some type of connection to the heterosexual world, which is supposed to be the right world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how he created his comfort. That's how it became okay for him to do what he did. And that's the way he lived his life, you know.
Okay.
And I don't think it was until towards the end where I think we may have seen a little growth.
Exactly.
That it seemed like his mind may have been switching up a little bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely.
Is there any correlation between self-esteem and sexual ID? Your position. Let me put it like this: do you think tops are more have a healthier self-esteem, or are more aggressive in other areas of their life? Where okay, you look bedazzled on that one.
Repeat that again, please.
Do you think there's any correlation between self-esteem and your sexual ID or your sexual role?
Sexuality.
Well, for self-esteem, when you're comfortable with yourself, whatever role that you decide that you're going to ascribe to, take on or whatever, it can it probably will serve as your sexual ID. If you're...
I agree with Billy. I mean, either role, your self-esteem, you know, like Billy was just saying earlier about his the role he plays. You know, he's
it's not a role, it's reality for myself.
Right.
Or whatever.
Well, since we're using the word role, you know.
It's reality for me, so...
The point, and I'm glad you wrote this, one of the things in the book that I did not bring up during the meeting was that all of the gentlemen, or all of the characters who were bottoming, were at one point in the book made the statement that I'm lucky to have the man I'm with. Virgil said it. Virgil's like, I'm not too keen on how well I look. Da 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 da. I'm happy. It's, you know, it's a privilege to have Rodney. Clinton made the same statement about having Dexter, that, you know, I'm really not all that cute, all that good looking, and Dexter's come along and he's in my life. Woohoo! I'm happy to have him. So, I didn't see it until just now, but did you notice that?
Yeah, now that you're saying it. Okay.
And that all of the top in the and you see that
I was going to say, how did the tops feel about that?
Oh, they love themselves.
I hadn't had the opportunity to read the book just yet. I do have the book, and I'm going to start on it next week. But how did the tops feel about the bottoms?
But you know what, the tops in the book all really cared for their partners. They all really, really, really care for their partners, and they express that.
I don't agree with that, and especially from Dexter, because if you tell me that, you know, being a bottom is only for sissy, and you're male, but you're not really a man, and I wouldn't dare be
you can't possibly care for me.
You know what? That's his form of caring, though. It may sound surface, but you can only care to the degree that you know how.
Okay.
And that's what...
Well, I'm going to need you to go off and get some more caring.
Well, of course. He needed to grow some, but that was his way of caring.
Okay.
Now, I mean, we can't judge that. You know, that's what he knew. That's what he knew in the book.
He would know it by himself then.
Well, but he didn't know it by himself. He had a partner.
He was dumb. I wouldn't have stuck around. But the book did make a good point. I think it covered all aspects of the issue. He had one couple who could not come to an agreement about the versatility in the relationship. He had one couple that the couples decided, we're both comfortable in the roles that we've settled in. And then you had another couple that were settled in being versatile. We're going to be versatile. So I thought he did a very good job with that. Do we believe that tops are ego driven?
Oh, definitely.
Because they
a lot of them are
because they have an attitude. You know, it's you're lucky to be with me.
Right, you're privileged. But in the same sense, being that's even more so when the bossy bottom comes in. No, you're lucky to be with me because believe me, there's a give and take situation here. Okay, I may be taking it, but at the same time, I'm giving it to you also. So you know, you're lucky to be here.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't feel as if you're lucky, then why don't you go and you know, give it somewhere else?
Okay.
So,
you think tops are ego driven?
Because
he's telling the truth. They are. I mean, if you go on the internet, if you look at A for A, they're like, it's a privilege if I decide to get with you, because their perception, it's more y'all than there are of us.
Hmm.
They do. Their attitude, they're more bottoms than there are true, oh, I hate this term, they're more bottoms than there are true tops. Now, is there a fake top and a true?
Well, all true tops aren't often, you know, bottom sometimes. So that the term, the versatile top?
Uh-huh.
That's when that term, the versatile top, comes in.
Okay.
I'm only given an opportunity.
My experience, but I don't know.
When given an opportunity, the top can easily turn into a bottom, you know, especially if they, it often mixes me up sometimes when they ask for, this is a top that's seeking a masculine home boy type guy or whatever, and someone that I can go by and that I can be seen out in public with and all this sort of stuff. But when behind closed doors, okay, I want you to, some will often tell you, well, I want you to ascribe to this role of, you know, it stops here in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. You can drop that label and, okay, become what I want you to become here. So for some, okay. Not for all.
What about it? What about, tell me what you think about this statement. Tops accept service as a sign that they are masculine for having the service of another male. Tops accept service as a sign that they are masculine for having the service of another male.
Ring. Maybe I've just grown a lot, but I guess a lot of what's being said right now, it doesn't fit in my category. I don't know.
Okay. Sexual. Where is the line between sexual role preference versus prejudice? In the form that I've decided on a sexual role based on my preference, or I've decided on a sexual role based on my prejudice that I don't want to be seen or called out as, so I won't even try this over here. Not because I've experienced it and I don't like it. I'm just not going to do it because of the way other people will view me, and I just don't want to be viewed in that light. So where is the line between sexual preference, sexual role preference, and sexual role prejudice? I've decided on this particular role because of the way I would be viewed if I decided to do that over there. Versus, I just like doing this.
I think if it's something that you, from what I've seen, guys that truly, really want to try whatever, if that right individual come along, and if right time, right person, right place, right situation or whatever, they'll go for it.
Okay.
Now, with some that public image that they want to keep up or whatever, possibly they'll do that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But with all the rights in place, that could easily change.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think I think some of the limits are lessened, you know, in a more comfortable situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For some, you know, they've been placed in that position based off of society or upkeep of the family, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. They have to be in that role mentally. They have to be in that role. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even then, I think the right person comes along. I think it may shift.
And
you
usually
know,
when if they're going to take on a partner or some significant other or others that they're going to choose to see or whatever, and they're comfortable with them,
okay,
that doesn't come into play.
Okay.
That can easily be switched.
Okay. Do you think sexual role preference determines masculinity or effeminacy? Or does masculinity and effeminacy determine sexual role preference? So which one do you think came first? Are you want me to repeat it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm a little thought about
Do you think sexual role preference is determined by your masculinity or your effeminacy? Or is your effeminacy and your masculinity determined by your sexual role preference? So it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, if you, that goes back to, I guess you saying that, that they have some that may appear to be effeminate, but at the same time, when it comes to the bedroom, they may take on a different role. So that's an individual type thing.
Okay.
Some that appear to be masculine.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to the bedroom or whatever, they, you know, could be, could be more feminine.
Okay, so you're saying that they're actually independent one another. They really don't have, they don't have to correlate.
Sometimes they do, but that doesn't necessarily mean just because one appears to be to look a certain way that that's what they ascribe to that role in the bedroom.
Right, and that's usually the first connection we make anyway.
That's us as individuals thinking that.
Looks a certain way, we want to touch them, but you know, I'm just being really honest, a good 95% of the
things aren't always the way that they appear to be.
Yeah, a good 95% of the bottoms of versatiles that I've dealt with have been masculine.
Okay,
so it's not
okay.
You know, and there wasn't a role playing game that we had. It was you know, we just lived our lives. So, you know, I think often we don't know how to detach masculine from the sexual act.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where a problem could lie.
Okay. What do you think? There's always this talk about, you know, I don't like any feminine men. I don't like to look at an effeminate man. Is it actually the effeminacy that you think some men are turned off by, or is it that the effeminacy is on another man?
Well, I think that sometimes it's a comfort level within oneself. Sometimes you can look at a person and you may see that softer side and then see think, well, okay, this is a male, but there's a certain softness to him. And being from the type of society that we're in and from the community also, we are taught that males aren't supposed to be that way. There's always that machismo attitude that, you know, you're supposed to be a male, you're supposed to be hard, you're supposed to be this, that, or whatever. But when you see something a little different, then it's the fear factor that's involved in it also.
Okay.
So I think that fear factor and that question, that questioning about, if I got in contact with my softer side, is there a possibility that I might want to do this or that or whatever? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I can't be penetrated. So it's fear factor and the question behind it also, I think.
Because my thought is that if you are a man and you find effeminacy on another man unattractive, is it the effeminacy that you find unattractive? If so, then that means you don't like women, or you find effeminate, you even find women unattractive. Or you can't see
and being an effeminate gay male, I haven't I don't think that that's it. I think that it's more of that fear factor, and you're looking at your you're questioning yourself also. Well, okay, maybe there are it's some things about me that makes me uncomfortable with this individual.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I've got to treat I've got to treat them a different way, and that guilt by association, and it goes back into that thing of thinking also that we're taught that males are supposed to be hard, they're supposed to be masculine, mm-hmm. they aren't supposed to touch upon that feminine side.
Okay.
No tears, nothing about softness in black gay males.
Well, so how about you just attracted to what you're attracted to?
Okay.
You know, not that you're questioning yourself because you only desire a certain type of personality, but I mean, you know what attracts you. Some people like scrambled eggs, some like them fried, you know. So the reality is you like what you like, and not because you're in this big dilemma and tug of war with yourself, but you're attracted to what you're attracted
but,
to.
But he said that when you look at what was the question again?
If you look at an effeminate man, is it the effeminacy that turns you off, or is it just that it's on him? Because if it's the effeminacy that turns you off, I believe that that's a form of misogyny at that point, if it's just strictly the effeminacy that turns you off. Because whether it's attached to a man or a woman, it's still beautiful. I mean, effeminacy can't be beautiful on a woman and then you turn around and you put it on a man and it's ugly. It's still effeminacy. The gender has just changed. So is there something deeper?
And
I understand what you're saying about you can like what you like, but where is that thin line between the men who do I just have a preference? But then you have men right on the other side of that line where it's actually a prejudice. I don't like effeminate men, not because it's just not what I like, but it's something I just, it's more than just a preference. I don't like them because either I think, Billy, it's kind of like what you said, that there's a fear factor that I could slip into, because I've talk to guys who they'll say, you know, I've found myself hanging around an effeminate guy, and then 2, 3, 6 months later down the road, my speech has changed. I start saying little things I normally wouldn't say. I address some males as girl, or I start using word terms like child, and I start using vernacular I normally would not use.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a, there was a point brought up that it's, the effeminacy is accepted, by society as being weak. And that goes back to that stereotype that, mm-hmm, when we look at males, you know, you're supposed to look at, you're supposed to be, ascribed to this role of being hard and masculine and whatever.
Exactly.
And, when they see something a little different or whatever, then that's when, okay, well, this person is out of the norm, and that, they don't fit into that stereotype that we're used to seeing or whatever, so therefore I'm going to take on this, well, I got to be a little bit more harder with this person, or I got to be, this person is different.
Exactly. But Billy made, about, what was that, 3 or 4 years ago, we had a panel at the men's gathering. We had a panel of about 5 or 6 straight black men.
Right.
One of the guys made a statement that, well, the question was, when you initially see a man you assume is gay or effeminate, mm-hmm, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? One of the gentlemen said, I think weak. Mm-hmm. And Billy, I don't know if you remember what you said.
Oh, I remember, okay, definitely what
Billy
I told got him,
in
I
his
got very
behind.
Billy, about his statement.
Billy told him, how much strength do you think it really takes for me to operate and live in a community that would rather not have me here? How much strength do you think it takes for me to walk down the street being fully who I am, knowing all the while you, as supposedly my brother through skin color, degrade me and talk about me? It takes a lot more strength than you realize to do that. So weak I am definitely not. Right. And I thought that was an excellent point that you made. And he had to sit and think about that for a while. And he was like, you know what? I never thought about it in that manner, that the internal strength that you have to, because the black community looks at strength, it's all outward. You know, if you walk, talk, mm-hmm, you know, and you give the presentation, you're good, you're strong, but mm-hmm, it rarely delves into on a huge basis as far as the entire community about the internal strength, mm-hmm, that people have to have.
Mm-hmm. It takes a tough shield, a very tough skin to do some of the things that effeminate black gay men have to go through. To put on a dress or whatever, put on the heels or stockings and wigs and whatever, if you choose to go that route.
Uh-huh.
And say, well, okay, I'm going to come out and be the individual that I am in society, with you know, irregardless to what, how others think that I should look, mm-hmm, act, talk, or whatever. That takes and a strength, mm-hmm, in order to get out there and deal with society. Because you know, once you step outside that door and you go past that, your that level of comfort within your home,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, or people that you're around or whatever, and just to deal with society, period, you know you're going to face some prejudice, and you know you're going to face some hard times. So this is it's not that easy. It's not that easy at all.
Kevin, what was the name of the documentary that we watched?
About the Beyond.
There was a scene in there where they went to the Miami. Was it Miami? Where were they?
Spring Bling and Miami.
Spring Bling and Miami. And they had, there were what, three? Were they cross-dressers or trans?
Cross-dressers.
They were cross-dressers.
They stated that they, mm-hmm, in their,
okay,
normal life,
they would dress. They were, mm-hmm, they were at this very testosterone energized event, dressed, cross-dressing, and they weren't so much so that you could not tell. You, mm-hmm, you could look, if you looked close enough, you could tell. But for them to be in that environment,
mm-hmm,
was,
'cause that's definitely a macho-driven environment.
Yeah, I was scared for them. And they were like, well, you know, they're going to say one thing while this camera is rolling, but as soon as their boys are off to the side somewhere, they're trying to talk to us.
And it's been often the case.
But how much strength do you think it takes to just show up at that event like that? Don't, I think that's cojones.
It definitely is cojones. Definitely cojones.
To be able to show up at that event like that. Any of you have any last words about the last thing I had on the list was, do you think that there's a social order in regards to sexual role preference? Do you think that one sexual preference is held in higher regard than the other?
No. I think in the community, I think there's room for all sexual preferences.
Okay, I'm gonna disagree with that, because when you're in the club, you will hear, you know, you'll hear, oh child, that's a girl.
But those same ones that you hear that's a girl,
uh-huh,
there's always that boy over there in that corner that's looking at that girl that's going to try to get with her, if she's right.
That's true. But you never hear, oh man, don't get with him, he's a top.
Right.
You never hear that kind of discourse. So there's this self-demeaning, because you're talking about somebody who looks just like you and acts just like you.
But if you think about the role, okay, he may look like a top and he may be a top, but between the roles of them being a top, somebody's going to have to bottom somewhere. So,
okay.
I'll say my last words would be true, be yourself, and be comfortable with who you are.
Kevin, you have any last words?
I'm just, you know what, tonight is just taking me. It's taking me. So, it was nice being here with you again.
Okay.
And, man.
Again, if you get the chance, go out, get the book from top to bottom. It doesn't matter what race, what gender. It is an excellent book talking about a subject matter that is very prevalent, sexual role typecasting, and how we box each other. And no matter what you decide to do or what your preference is, make sure that you're secure in it and that it works for you and that you aren't put into a position where you're invalidating yourself to validate somebody else or to make sure that a relationship works. Because if you're not happy, it's actually not working. And there were a couple of lines in the book that I wish I would have brought my copy to repeat to you. But again, you have to be secure in who you are, and you have to communicate to the people that you become involved in, or you become involved with, that this is what you like and this is what I want to do. And if that person isn't willing to do that or to compromise in that area, then you need to part and find someone that is for you. Out of all of the people out there, I'm sure there's someone out there that you can connect with, and even go beyond this sexual role preference. So hopefully this will not be an issue. People will feel free to tell others, this is who I am, this is what I like to do, can you go along for the ride? You know, does it work for you? But I want to thank you, Billy and Kevin. You, again, lifesavers. Thank you so much to the studio staff, Chris and Jimmy and David. All of you are excellent, wonderful all of the time. I just love you all tremendously. So thank you. Thank you.
And we're glad that you're back. That's Robert.
Robert is wonderful, you all. Robert comes up with these very poignant questions. He brings us, and sometimes we just can't get to all of them, but they're always excellent. I want to interview you one day too. Come in here and sit down. Just excellent, absolutely wonderful. So thank you again. This has been Black on Black on 90.1 KPFT, the station that listens to you. Thank you so much for being with us, and we will see you again next month. Thank you.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed. See a real life conspiracy. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this. It's American history.
she's into sports. Looks good in shorts, but you're just another game to him. I've seen his type, seen him all my life. Always pulling for the side that's winning. You need someone who cares, so don't look over there. I can show you what you've been missing. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. I do, baby. Treats you right. For so many guys, he is quite a prize, but he requires constant attention. If you reel him in, he'll wiggle free again, then treat you with condescension. You waste your time with jerks, and when it doesn't work, you know it's me you always turn to. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. I landed on another planet of clones with gym tits hard as granite. Body fascists rule this land. Where can I find a flat-chested man? Feel out of place and so alone amidst the hairspray and cologne. Attitude cuts you like a knife. Can dolls on steroids come to Monica Boulevard scene, poodle hair and sausage jeans, the international mail store, the mannequins and customers are interchangeable, makes me wanna get a revolver, the whole place puts me in a rage, in a town full of out of work actors, the whole world truly is a stage. Joke. He touched his hair and it broke. Conversation was a strain. He crossed his legs and crushed his brain. Teal tank tops everywhere. Cigarette smoke choking the air. Underneath they might be deep.
In the fluffy city. In the fluffy city. In the fluffy city. In the fluffy city.
Triple shot of Pansy Division.
Yes. Pansy Division.
Yeah, we're not allowed to do triple shots. Only single shots here. By the way, you know.
Yes.
I know Jimmy wanted to thank the shooter for creating this nice glory hole in the window.
Yeah, I love glory holes.
Unfortunately, you know, it's the right height for inside here, but outside.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah, really. You have to stand on the box.
So, Yao Ming, we have a glory hole for you.
Ooh.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, so what, he got married.
Well, hey. It's time for the After Hours Roundtable.
Yay.
I don't hear anything in my thing.
You won't hear anything in your
turn
thing?
Up, son.
Oh, I'll turn it up.
Who have we got in there?
Oh, there we go.
Johnny, of course.
Okay. Next.
A drunk virgin.
Oh, my.
A drunk virgin.
What? Hold on. He's doing a wonderful impersonation of Jackie. He's drunk and he's eating on air.
No eating in the control room.
I just got peppermint patties.
No drinks either.
Stop eating her.
Yes, sir.
She's a lesbian.
Did you at least call her sir before you popped her in your mouth?
World's youngest lesbian.
Yes,
I love
was.
The robot chicken version of
and
that.
And next to virgin we have...
Big Roy.
Wow.
And Jose.
Merlin.
Paul Jonathan.
Ooh.
And he's a sexy man.
Who else we got back here in the studio?
Robbie.
And Paul.
Paul.
Okay.
Yay.
And we got more people coming in.
And Jimmy just looked over and noticed there was a kilt in the room.
I know. You know how nervous that makes me. My hand just gets a mind of its own.
Idle hands.
And
they're the devil's plaything.
And he is so married.
I only see part seven.
But Jimmy, that never stopped you before.
11 years?
Hey, wow. Hey, Jimmy.
What were you, four?
Jimmy. I know the secret to doing that. You use one of these. So let's see. We made this.
Wow, I had no idea. And you're right.
The secret is open and
four. That's all it is. Open it to the person that you're in love with.
Oh, I know. Of course, they can't.
Okay, so we haven't started yet?
Not yet.
Okay, just to let y'all know, I did buy me a toy.
Hold on,
hush.
Okay, TMFI. Thank you.
Yes, the secret.
The secret that I've noticed to my relationship is that we're both true to our essence.
we're true to each other, and we're open with each other. And because of that, the problems that destroy a lot of other relationships, straight or gay, though they can become difficult to deal with, when dealt with openly, you can move on.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
My advice.
Because in a relationship, you usually think, oh, people are going to grow old together. But they don't. Because over your lifetime, you develop different interests. And not necessarily the interest of your mate.
Well, that's correct. I'm into a lot of things that my husband is not, and he's into things I'm not. He does model railroads on a national museum scale.
Wow.
And though it is very pretty to look at, it kind of bores me. And I do the amp guard, which he's into, but not nearly into the way I am. And when we can realize that, and he's like, you go off and do your stuff, and I'll go off and do my stuff. And
right.
At the end of the day, we come in, and we tell each other about it. And that's how we go on.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. Because my lover and me, we have no interests together, actually. Except for traveling. And eating in restaurants. That's about it. We are really opposites. But it works. It works for us. Because we give each other our own space. And the time we have together, though sometimes small, is potent.
Yeah, that's
why you're already whining, and he's only been in town for 5 hours. You came in with your ass dragging. And it's like...
That's because I was working
even,
all day.
No. Even before you mentioned the ICOH
working?
Stuff, I just looked over at you, and I was going to go, Stanley's back, isn't he?
No, I was at the polling booths all day today for ICOH. Was the last day of voting for Emperor and Empress.
And he's so used to usually pulling in a booth, not polling in a booth.
Actually, trolling in a booth is more like it.
Jimmy in control, what?
No, Jimmy.
Not trolling.
Control.
Trolling. Oh, no, trolling. I was
saying. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a roll of quarters in his pocket. I don't know where to go with them.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, I know where to go, but still.
Yeah, and people have been trying to tell you how to get there for years.
He still hasn't found his way.
Okay.
No.
Do you have a subject, or should we talk about virgins piercing?
No.
I think we have the toy.
We have stop with the toy.
What?
We have the next edition in the story, Profiles in the Sanctity of Marriage.
Okay.
Oh my God.
To scare you even further, this comes from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh my.
That is scary.
Where brothers do brothers and sisters do sisters.
Yep. A law passed this year allows Arkansians of any age, even infants, to marry if their parents agree.
What?
What?
Oh, my God.
The governor may have to call a special session to fix the mistake. The legislation, it was intended to establish 18 as the minimum age to marry, but also allows pregnant teenagers to marry with parental consent, bill sponsor Representative Will Bond said. An extraneous not in the bill, however, allows for anyone who is not pregnant to marry at any age if the parents allow it. Clearly, it's not the intent to allow 10 or 11-year-olds to get married. The legislation was screwed up.
Wow.
Arkansas, what do you expect?
Arkansas, the land of arranged marriages.
Gee, I thought moonshine was made illegal in that state. It's only for the politicians.
But I also thought that Little Rock, the capital of Arkansas, is a dry county.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
The bill reads, in order for a person who is younger than 18 years of age and who is not pregnant to obtain a marriage license, the person must provide the county clerk with evidence of parental consent to the marriage.
Ooh.
A code revision commission, which fixes typographical and textual errors in the law, had tried to correct the mistake, but a group of legislators said Friday the commission went beyond its powers. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant, Senator Dave Bisbee said. Rarely will that be a typographical error. Well, wait a minute. A typographical error would include missing a period.
I'll give him that.
I think it took Jimmy a second on that one. Oh, my
goodness. Jimmy hasn't had one of those in a while.
I just can't imagine, you know, going through the whole legislature and nobody caught it. What do they pay these people?
Obviously not enough.
With roadkill and moonshine.
Too much to govern and not enough to think.
Yeah.
The Arkansas Legislative Council asked for an independent commission to reverse the correction. Several lawmakers say a special session may be necessary. We need a special session to fix this, Senator Sue Madison said. I am concerned about pedophiles coming to Arkansas to find parents who are willing to sign up a very young child's consent. Before the new law took effect on July 31st, girls could get married with parental consent at 16 and boys at 18. The legislature formally adjourned its session in May and is not scheduled to meet until January 2009.
Now, wait a minute. What was that again about parental consent?
Before the law was you can get married at 16 with parental consent for a girl and 17 for a boy.
Oh, 17.
But now what they're doing now is that the parental consent is only if you are
pregnant,
knocked up. So this allows for 15-year-olds who get knocked up.
15-year-old pregnant people.
Yes.
Which is rather sexist, since men can't get pregnant.
Well, she's got to marry somebody, you know, unless, you know, if she's one of those unusual ones that actually gets knocked up by a fellow 15-year-old, you know, rather than her, you know, her history teacher.
What if it's her father?
Well, remember, in Arkansas, it's all relative.
Oh! Bang.
I thought the only arranged marriage in Arkansas was a shotgun wedding.
No, the only arranged marriage in Arkansas was Bill and Hillary.
True story.
And I believe, as the joke goes, it's more of a if it was any more of a marriage of convenience, there'd be a Slim Jim rack on the bedpost.
You know, on my way to Arkansas, there's a big blue sign that says the Arkansas, the home state of Bill Clinton, and that sign had shotgun holes all in it. You can barely read the sign.
Now, you know, in Harp, he was born in Hope, Arkansas.
Oh. Lots of hope.
Yep. Hope.
Hope, huh?
If you have nothing left else in the world, you have to have hope. At least he wasn't born in Nowinski, Arkansas.
No.
I'm glad.
He never came in Nowinski. He went around it, went over it, went
in it.
Not ever went in it. I never really went
never
in
came
it.
In
no,
it.
No, no, no.
I
no, no, no.
went on it.
I doubt we'll ever have a Hurricane Lewinsky.
There's already been one very big blow named Lewinsky.
Now, you know, there was the oral sex. That's what the big thing was. No, okay, everybody just gets quiet on that
okay,
one.
Okay, next time.
I've heard about Bill. It's not a big thing.
No wonder she liked the cigar so much.
Little red. Yeah.
What's a cigar? Not a cigar roast.
Okay, next story.
Okay, next story, Chris. Come on, baby.
It's so nice to see that not all this stuff happens in the United States. It comes to us from the Daily Mail in England. An after-school club supervisor had sex sessions with a 13-year-old after seducing him. It was a female supervisor of an after-school sports ring. Had a string of sex sessions with a 13-year-old boy member. She was 31 at the time. She's now 42, and God, the boy could have done better.
It is England.
Yeah, but well, young not, you know, I mean, let's face it. Look what Prince Charles chose.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't
I'm sorry.
You could choose her.
Camilla's a catch compared
Diane
to her.
Diana was. Like, she looked good. Diana looked good, though.
Oh, we're talking about Camilla.
Camilla. I mean,
now, we need to throw her back.
No,
we have an English bulldog.
maybe she
Camilla
was.
Now, how old do you think she is now?
Southbound end of a northbound horse. Sonny.
Yes, she is.
Is that the 42-year-old?
Yeah, she's 42 now.
Camilla needs to go somewhere.
All right. I'll tell you this. You know,
far
I mean, I'll consider this. You know, seeing the picture of the attacker on here, I think the 13-year-old boy would have been better off with
the one fat lady that's on here.
Whoa.
From the cooking show.
But you have to remember that in certain countries, it's the age of consent is different from it is here.
In Britain, it is 16.
Yeah, oh, it's still... Okay.
Yeah, and it's trust me, a 13-year-old boy should be able to get better than that.
No, she is
Jesus,
not,
I hope that boy went gay after that.
Yes, he probably did.
Oh, my goodness. God.
Yeah, and now they waited 11 years for the story to come out.
I wouldn't have told anybody.
I can't really blame him for not telling anybody.
Well, Russian flag and
13-year-old and hormones, he'll put it anywhere.
Probably.
Yes. And he did.
Yes, he did.
If our bars are any indication. Yeah.
Talk about hot and heavy.
That's a good one to say.
On Friday, the first teenage gay kiss in daytime television occurred.
Oh, my God.
As the world turns.
Oh, my God, y'all.
The boy wasn't all of us turning.
It was. Now, the boys in this are a couple of hotties.
Wait a minute. You mean,
well, Chris, can you show us a picture?
No.
You mean it wasn't Gaze of Our Lives?
Ooh.
No, it was on the show as our stomach turned.
Gee, and I thought I was.
Did I try and turn the screen
and
around?
It's video.
Woo! Hot.
Yes. I guess that means that Ryan Phillippe didn't get any when he was on the TV show. When he did.
Nope.
No.
When he was on there.
I guess Ryan Seacrest is kind of jealous now.
Yes, he is. Because we all know he's gay.
No.
He's a metrosexual, honey.
That's BS.
Let's repeat again.
So.
Alex is here.
Gee, and I thought.
He's out.
Hey, Alex,
who's Alex?
Oh, PT himself.
PT to the second.
Hey, I thought the high point of my week was seeing Ace of Buchanan die.
What are you talking about? Alex is going home with me tonight. What are you talking about?
Yeah. He hasn't had as much a drink as you have.
But still, who cares?
You don't know that.
No.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Alex's eyes are not the color of his shirt, so he couldn't possibly have had his...
Now, the question is, where do I have seen him?
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to quickly interlink. I told him about the gay teens and hearing your reaction once I linked to that. I'm still waiting for my link to come over on this one song there. Now, Jimmy was telling me about this, and supposedly it's confirmed on here.
What?
The Hollywood Reporter has definitely blown the late Merv Griffin's closet door open for
good. I've been waiting for it ever since then.
You know what? Anybody who's lived in Hollywood, California, has known for decades that Merv was as gay as a goose.
It's like Rock Hudson. Come on, who cares?
Okay.
And who didn't know?
Okay.
You know.
Right.
Hold on.
Writes Ray Richmond for the Industry Bible, the Hollywood Reporter. Merv Griffin was gay. Why should that be so uncomfortable to read? Why is it so difficult to write? Why are we still so jittery about even raising the issue of purportedly liberal-minded Hollywood in 2007? Griffin, who died of prostate cancer Sunday at age 82, stayed in the closet throughout his life. Perhaps he figured it was preferable to remain the object of gossip rather than live openly as one of them. But how tremendously sad is it that a man of Merv's renown and his gregarious nature and social dexterity,
so to speak,
so he's versatile, would feel compelled to endure such a stealthily double life, even as the gay community's clout and its levels of acceptance and equality rose steadily from the ashes of ignorance.
I love it when people take pot shots at dead people.
Because they chose
not to come out of the closet while they were alive.
Merv Griffin was old school. Him. You know, he was very
old school.
And he became, and even if he didn't say it and it was well known to the Hollywood community, with the Hollywood community knowing that he was, you know, and it was kept under wraps, he still became one of the most powerful men in Hollywood.
Yes, he did.
I have a Merv Griffin story.
Uh-oh.
In 1966, I was 18 years old and living in New York, and I met someone who got tickets to the Merv Griffin show. So, and he invited me. So we went, and we got to sit in the first row of the balcony. And Merv Griffin, they, you know, it's a typical TV audience, and somebody comes out, and they kind of warm up the audience. Then Merv comes out, you know, with all very thick makeup. And
yeah.
And he's, you know, greeting the audience, and I'm standing up and shouting and cheering in the front row of the balcony, and he looks up at me right into my face and winks.
Whoa. The gator went off even then.
Yep.
Hey, that's the safest missile that's gone off in this room this week. Let's
I don't think missiles. Any missiles have gone off in that room.
Oh, you missed the paper airplane that just threw.
Oh, okay. Do you have more on Merv?
No.
Okay.
Let's put it this way.
No,
when he wasn't on, when he wasn't, you know, doing his shows, he would normally walk around with a paisley ascot.
Oh, yes.
And when he was a smoker, he had one of those big, long cigarette holders.
Yeah, he did have cigarette holders.
Oh.
But not a long
one. When he was
one.
At home, he always ran around in a muumuu.
I don't know what
that, and he would drink, and when he would drink his coffee,
there is
the little pinky, the little pinky was always a, that pinky will tell on you every time.
No, I was just 5 minutes ago, I was talking to Chris and saying, now that Merv is dead, somebody's going to write the book, you know, kicking him out of the closet.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Actually, I think that's the title of it. I think, you know, I would always advocate being out of, you know, advocate being out of the closet. That having been said,
while you're alive,
that more. I don't understand this fixation with people to crucify someone after they're dead.
Because they like to tear down
people. Well, not that you have
people.
To crucify them, but just talk about their life.
Well, I think it's also...
But there will be people in our community who will crucify him.
Absolutely.
For not having said it while he was alive.
But I think it also has to do with...
And that drives me insane.
Well,
some people just like to tear down... And destroy
other
people.
Not that. It's not that. It's the missed opportunity of someone in his position could have done a lot for the movement and the community by coming out while
he was alive.
The thing
is that back then, if you were a celebrity, you were gay, it was not really a good idea to come out because.
Okay, how about in the last 10 years? When I mean, his place in history had been
right. I can understand later. Yeah,
well established. He's got all the money that he could ever want.
Now
nothing can hurt him.
Merv Griffin production still has a lot.
Oh yeah,
on television these days.
Yeah.
So
heck, he wrote the Jeopardy.
There are still a lot
of people
out there who.
Him and his ex-wife.
Okay, if he's associated with the gay community, I'm not going to buy the products that are a part of his production shows.
What does he care? He's got more money than he can ever spend.
Well, what are you talking about? He's already dead, so does it not get, you know, like, it's not like he can spend the money now.
Oh, heck.
This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, 90.1 FM.
Chris, it's just not the same without you doing it.
Thank you, Chris.
Did you find some music?
Oh, the mic's back on. Oops.
So we're like live right now, right?
No.
Well, let's put it this way. I guess for right now, you're live.
Oh, okay.
Wait till after the show.
I bet you Jimmy's going to have a few words with
us.
Just
be careful once you step outside the studio walls.
Has anybody seen Homer Choke Bart?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Choke Bart? Yeah, on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to some music.
Did I save the world? No, you damned us all.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be back in just a bit.
Here, the guy that I see is the guy that was once so naive. Never saw the real you until the day that I saw me. So survivor too thick and too deep. Not the type of person to give in. Though I'm asking myself,
on you can I depend? If I lost myself, would you help to find me? Forgot my way home, would you remind me? Don't get me wrong, I'll be fine on my own. But if I'm ever truly in need, would you rescue me?
Next one is here for good, if you're here for keeps. I'm here to win, long striving. Take a seat, every day is the air. I'm here for good, I'm here for keeps. I play to win, long striving.
You wanna get it?
that I have is dead for the rest of my life. Yeah.
met one guy named Johnny, but he was a total geek. He always had food in his braces. Answer me, Debbie, who was Johnny? Oh, God, it's like that movie Citizen Kane, you know, where you later find out Rosebud was a sled, but we'll never know who Johnny was because, like, she's dead.
Hey, you know, we're going to put that on the board out there.
What?
Well, they're saying list of suspects?
Yeah.
The Homecoming Queen.
Homecoming Queen. Yeah, that's a good one. Because she's always got a gun.
Homecoming Queen's got a gun from...
You got to remember to spell coming correctly.
Yes.
According to Aerosmith, Jeanie had a gun, too.
By Julie Brown.
Was hoping for...
Well, Jeanie was the Homecoming Queen.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah. Yes, Chris.
Yeah. That was dedicated for the events of last week.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, one, two, three.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
But I have a question. Who is Brian?
Never mind. Don't
that's for you to know. That's for Chris to know and you not to find out, all right?
Okay, that works.
Okay, tell her. Tell everybody who Brian is and what, he did.
He says, you're welcome. In fact, you heard him say it. His little bink.
Yeah.
Turn that off.
No, he sent it to us, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because okay, I didn't happen to have it with me this week.
Yeah, so I held it for the opening song. Illegally downloading the copy for us so that we could play it.
Wait, shouldn't you have hit the little button?
And if the FCC is listening, no, that was my original vinyl that you heard. Yes.
That's all hissing and popping was.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before that, I forgot to put Kevin in there. Kevin Cahoon with Can I Have This Dance?
Uh-huh.
Then Jim Varroche, You're Getting Crazy. And Joshua Clip, featuring Hollywood, Rescue Me.
Yes. Nice.
Hey,
nice,
folks,
nice.
Have you seen a theme tonight?
Well, there's, you know, Rescue Me, that's kind of jumped out there with, you know, shutting off the mics in there and sending you all scurrying. You're getting crazy. God, there was a theme. Rescue Me, You're Getting Crazy. Then Can I Have This Dance going into Homecoming Queen?
Yes.
Talk about a delay.
God, it scares me when I come up with those things and don't know it.
And didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
You are a theme queen.
Yes, so talented.
Oh, yeah. Boy. All righty, let's see.
What else is in
there? Sopranos Gay Vito.
Yes.
Markets murder weapon that bludgeoned him.
Ooh.
Joseph R. Ganascali, who played gay mobster Vito Spatafore on The Sopranos, is using his fame to market a billiard cue, which is branded with his name, character signature, and the phrase, a cue to die for. Unfortunately, it was just such an instrument that Vito was beaten to death with and sodomized in the television series.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
GLAAD has called on Rockwell Billiards, the company marketing the cue, to remove the phrase and apologize.
Oh, please.
It's highly, said GLAAD president, it's highly inappropriate that what served as a very real example of the hateful violence in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community faces now as being used as a gimmick to sell a product. The insensitive inclusion of the pool cue in the To Die For marketing theme betrays the legacy of the Sopranos character and is unacceptable.
I have seen videos of men shoving baseball bats up their bottoms.
I bet you Jimmy has.
But they're not...
Paul Koob. We're going to have a rebuttal.
Yeah.
The gay men with pool items.
Yes. Yes, I mean...
Well, there are pool balls.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, what's a cue stick compared to the pool balls themselves?
Play here, at 8-ball corner pocket.
Yeah.
No, we're leaving Tony's out of this.
I'm sorry, that sounds kind of hot, though, but I'm sorry, but anyway.
And don't talk about my Louisville Slugger.
Is that what you're calling it these days?
You know, well...
Oh, I'm doing another instant message when we start talking about baseball bats.
I am completely aware of what... of the hate and stuff that goes on. Well, I'm completely aware of... And the different things that people use to hurt us.
Yes.
I really do think there are times when certain organizations...
athletic equipment.
...need to get over themselves. Because they're just... I mean, I'm sorry, there is a point where if you protest the silliest little detail of an episode of a show, which was all about violence.
Yes.
Period. It was not about violence against queers. It was not about violence against straight people. It was a show about mobs.
Their thing is, you know, have a guy who was killed in the TV series with a pool stick and then had the pool stick shoved.
I get that.
Yeah.
And I heard.
Now he's marketing it, you know.
It's just, get over it, people.
I know, right?
I'm sorry.
You get over that stuff.
He's just trying to cash in on his 15 minutes of fame.
They're going to...
45 seconds.
Well, you know, there was a movie that came out like 10 or so years ago with LL Cool J in it when the guy got killed that way with a pool stick. Shove up his, you know what.
Yeah.
Nobody...
But nobody marketed a cue stick, you know?
Where was Glad then?
I didn't make a big deal about it either.
I mean, every famous murder weapon in every movie ever made is in some museum somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Or some warehouse.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a part of. It's going to be a part of film and
culture,
and you know, pop culture, TV history.
Yeah, clue.
Several years ago, people got all bent out of shape because a prince's queer lover gets kicked out a window.
Yeah.
In a scene from a very famous movie. What is now a very famous movie. And I'm sorry, historically speaking, the event is said to have actually happened. And they got and I'm sorry, yep. I think they got more upset about the fact that the crowd was laughing at the, you know, the queer getting kicked out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And should have been paying attention to the fact, well, if it actually happened, you can't control how the audience is going to react to a historical event,
no
matter how hateful the event may have been.
Yes.
But that event was also several hundred years ago, in a different time, a different place.
Mm. And you can't interpret something that was set in that time period by today's standards.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, you have to look at things in a different context.
Yeah,
you
do.
Let's see here.
Next story, I guess.
Interesting thing. In a British seaside resort in Bridgerton, Christopher Benjamin Nedler, a gay man, was sentenced to prison and community service for being charged with assault, occasioning grievously bodily harm for punching Lee Newby, another gay man, because Newby was pressuring him to get more involved with the gay scene there. Nedler allegedly punched Newby in the eye, damaging his vision and destroying his chance of becoming a helicopter pilot. According to court documents, the defendant describes having known the victim for 2 years, so that Mr. Newby bugs him and irritates him all by letting him know he has seen him when they're out in town or getting his friends to have a look at him, which he describes as an idiot who irritates him. Said Needler's attorney. Needler is a homosexual but is not flamboyant, and what he does not want to be is to be pushed into what is they laughingly call the gay community. The victim and his friends have been trying to suck Mr. Needler into that scene,
so to speak.
Which is a very incestuous one to live. They will not let it drop and allow him just to be an ordinary guy. He recognizes if he had not had a drink or only a touch more than he normally has, he probably would have controlled himself and left the place.
So I guess he's a butch.
He's blaming the alcohol for the reason that he attacked this person then.
Oh, no, that's just BS.
Well, he's just... He apparently wanted to be more out and open or flamboyant or...
Something.
They only play on the alcohol.
It's hard to understand, but...
like more involved in the community or just drunk.
More openly gay.
If you don't put on some colors in a list...
Doesn't really say. I mean...
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
I'm sorry.
I know, like I've been with a girl. Guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he apparently wants to be able to just, you know...
He's what you'd call straight acting.
Uh-huh. Or butch.
I think the thing is that not everyone is comfortable being out at first, and you can't just pressure someone into being out.
Well, that's true.
Not every
and their own schedule.
Not every queer person out there is going to be a blow the closet door off the, you know,
yeah.
Well, the hinges. Were never there.
Right. You know? I don't say how old the victim is. The guy who did the attacking is 23.
Okay.
Did he want to be helicopter pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not like the old joke, will I ever be able to play the piano?
Yeah.
Here's the thing for all the college going, people who are heading off to college here. Parents nixing gay college roommates using Facebook.
What? Say that one more time, please.
Parents nixing gay college roommates using Facebook. Facebook is...
kind of like MySpace.
It's like MySpace for college kids.
I know people have Facebook. Yeah.
I've heard stories of employers getting online and going to MySpace to check their potential employees.
Yeah, I've heard about that, too. I think that's like invasion of privacy.
Well,
no, because you sign off on allowing.
Exactly.
So the parents are...
The parents are going to... with colleges, you get a list of who your roommate's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, see, that's why I put, I'm not sure, so...
And
we're all pretty sure.
You do a search on Facebook. And it says that an article in USA Today notes that parents of freshmen entering college have been using Facebook profiles as a way of screening the school's choice of roommate for their child. Housing officials say parents who cite Facebook most frequently mention party-related content and photos as their primary concerns.
Boy, they're going to run out of roommates real soon.
Parents sometimes see cups in photos.
Or run out of space.
And make the leap to alcohol and drugs. But a representative from Syracuse University says race, religion, and sexual orientation are the top three concerns from parents contacting officials there. Someone from Suffolk University in Boston also ranked sexual orientation as a top concern of parents.
Wow.
Ward recalls getting a call from a parent who had psychological and sanitary concerns about a student's new roommates, both of whom were gay men. People don't give other
sanitary.
So what these parents are admitting is that they're racist
against gay people.
And prejudiced.
Homophobes.
Well, yeah. He said religion. You know, what was the other sexual preference?
Wait a minute. What can the sanitary part be?
Well, you know, if the sheets are only changed once a week, Santorum can get a little old.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, of course, yeah. But anyway.
Well, you don't have to be gay for that.
No, right?
But true.
They used to give that same load of malarkey about black people.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, if we wanted to be really stereotypical, I'd say the gay guy would be more sanitary than the straight guy.
In some cases, I'd have to disagree.
You haven't
on
seen
that.
My apartment.
Well, see, there's part of what the stuff you have to look at that you...
You haven't seen Jose's apartment. What are you talking about?
But, you know, I mean, you know, I've had concerns about that because, you know, like I said, when you go and you Google my name...
Yeah.
We covered that.
You know, you can find...
Oh, really?
You find out rather quickly that I'm gay.
I want people to know I'm gay.
And, well, you know...
Oh, Jimmy,
you're kind of obvious.
Jimmy, you type your name on the internet, and there pops up a picture of you in pink and a big pink boa girl, those no
with
doubt.
With those pink underwear. What are you talking about?
Yes. There's no doubt.
Yes.
What it comes down to it is, being careful with that stuff and how people can find. Exactly. I had a I have a live journal that I don't really keep up with anymore. But
sadly enough,
somebody went in and saw from my profile I was chatting with, took my screen name that I use in Yahoo for that, did a search, found my live journal page, found in there an article that I had a link in there of an article to the Houston Chronicle, and since my screen name and my real name both contain Chris, he found in the article where it had my name, and then went in and did a search and found my address. And so we're chatting, and within 3 minutes, this guy's telling me how old my apartment complex is.
Creepy.
Oh, no, this is creepy. Yeah.
And so you can see where some of this stuff comes through. That's why nowadays, you know, there's a block. I don't have those kind of links in there anymore of who I am and who is other
Screen name.
My screen name persona that I have on there, that I keep that separate, so that, you know, like I said, you know, if you do a search of my name, you'll find, you know, a couple things with KPFT, something with a couple things of reporting I've done on here, but nothing of the the dirty pervert side of me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. We have letters.
Yeah.
Jaime wrote.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read these yet.
He was very impressed with the interview we did last week with the transgendered woman.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, if that's the reason for the shooting, I'll be damned if I'll be a martyr because of Judy Reeve.
You know, when I heard about the shooting, that was the first thing that crossed my mind.
Really? I heard about that. Wow. I was like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I was here like one day before that.
Yeah, day late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Jaime writes.
Hope we're doing fine. Let's know he's still listening to the show.
He has wonderful artwork, and yes, I still want you to work that feather on me, Jaime.
Now, the trans guest Charlene that Judy Reeves interviewed last week was indeed a very enlightening subject about the terrible treatment and hatred that not only the VA hospital but other segments of society as well as still harbor towards the trans community and the GLBT people in general. As by exposing this hateful behavior and prejudice that allow the GLBT community to prevail and overcome the bigotry towards our community. My heart goes out to Charlene and to all of our beautiful trans and LGBT people who face similar transgressions. Please keep us posted on this and any other crimes against the community. Thanks, guys, and please keep on the great work. In regards to the charming and wonderful Miss Judy Reeves.
He's been
locked up too long.
I may again thank you for the lovely artwork.
Yes.
He's just
very colorful.
Incredible.
Oh, here,
just incredible.
You can do a rainbow for me anytime.
I know. Pass it around so they can see the pictures.
Yeah. Oh,
it's pretty.
This person is in lockup, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So he's got an article also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said in an article.
There's a reason we call him Men Behind Bars.
Oh, Jimmy, when is your fan getting out of prison?
And we're not talking about Men Behind Mary.
Men Behind Mary's?
I've never been to Mary's.
That sounds like a social group. Men Behind.
Do we have a line?
What's with the article?
It's an article out of Time Magazine, which is kind of strange here, called The Lavender Heart of Texas, How Once Conservative Dallas quietly became one of the nation's most gay-friendly cities.
Well, that's only on the surface, let me tell you. They're still big in the Bible Belt.
Yeah. I mean, there's a picture of two gay cowboys dancing at the Roundup Saloon.
Yeah. I love me a cowboy.
That's the BRB, isn't it?
It's basically the Dallas version of the BRB.
Okay.
It's pretty good. A view of the guy standing on the balcony at JR's in Dallas. The gay mayoral candidate.
He's got my vote.
Wow.
Well, he didn't win.
Exactly.
And pictures from the Cathedral of Hope, the massive gay church.
Yes.
Of course, why can't we have a massive gay church in Houston?
Isn't it called Lakewood, though?
It's called MC6.
Isn't there a gay church always in gay pride parade?
There are several.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I thought.
It used to belong to one of them.
In fact, there are more religious entries in the gay pride parade than there are bars. And there are more religious organizations in this city than bars. Believe it or not.
And let me tell you, pompous twits are not just relegated to the straight Christian community.
Very true.
Oh, wait. Was the
stamps.
Oh, the pledge.
Tigger. There's Tigger.
Okay, we got it already.
Thank you.
What? Huh?
Quit beating me.
This is
Tigger butter
from last
year. Oh, he's a real whip.
Yeah, I spy,
but we didn't really cover it.
What?
Ooh. Did I spy?
Yeah.
Ooh, man. Where's that?
What do you spy, baby?
Hello.
What do you spy?
Is that Lucas Haas?
Oh, no.
Oh wow.
Pass it around.
No. That's not pass it around, baby. Pass it around.
Still looking.
Yeah, he has Cosmopolitan magazine, and...
Is that
what a guy from Hairspray?
Is that as gay as details, or what?
Four signs he wants to heat things up. He's always touching you.
Ooh.
He makes sudden sex moves. He takes care of your business.
Ooh. Well, define business. Anyway,
seeing that boy from Hairspray without his clothes on would not be a bad thing.
No, he was in High School Musical also.
Oh, Zac Efron.
Yeah, that's his name.
I've actually seen some really poorly doctored photos of him.
Okay, what's the fourth one?
He takes, what else? Fourth one is he gets more curious.
More curious? What?
I'm curious about all else I have to say.
Listen up if your guy makes a comment like, "This is so weird. My friend says he and his girlfriend tried some reverse cowgirl position. Have you ever heard of that?"
That just says he's gay, y'all.
Cowgirl position?
Yeah,
that's...
He's laying flat, and in the straight world, she's on top.
He's gay.
Facing his feet. Oh. Straddling him.
He's
gay.
Pause for
the more you know. Dun, dun.
Where's that little rainbow?
Public service announcement.
Welcome to the KPFC Educational Hour.
Teach me something.
Honey, you don't need to
make you want
to
be a cowboy sweetheart.
You want to be a buckle bunny?
I bet you Chris or Jimmy can teach me.
Virgin doesn't need to be taught. He needs to be trained.
Okay, so
they can train.
Somebody give me a
nothing
newspaper.
A collar and a liquor
box. What does Tigger have to say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Don't know if you've heard about this, but the police chief of San Antonio, William McManus, marched in the Pride Parade there.
Okay.
He's straight, but wants to take the positive steps to strengthen relations between the cops and the GLBT community.
It's about time.
Well, the next city council meeting, 150 people, right-wingers, of course, showed up to protest his involvement in the parade.
Oh, bro.
Oh, God.
It's such a good thing that he tried to do, and unfortunately, even today, it took a lot of courage. I just hope that the backlash doesn't stop him from continuing his effort on behalf of the San Antonio community. Even more, I hope the community steps up in his support and doesn't leave him to face the fire alone. That they step up and counter the negative response to what he did with praises and numbers on his behalf.
That's a positive thing.
Okay, here's the thing you got to understand about San Antonio. It's a conservative, Hispanic, Catholic community.
True.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you don't.
So is Mexico City, and they've got gay marriage.
That's different, though. I'm
and
saying
so
in San Antonio.
And what about Spain?
In Spain, yes, but you have to understand, we're on this side of the border. We're no longer under control of Mexico or Spain. We're under control of, the idiot.
Go ahead.
Finish
that. It's called the Bush-istration.
But we can be our own country if we wanted to.
Yes, we can.
Yes.
I don't see why we don't.
Well, because the U.S. would be screwed without us.
Pretty much, but still, that's our problem.
No, we can still turn. We can still turn into six states if we want to.
True, we could.
We're bigger than two-thirds of the country on the other side of the border.
Civil union.
But anyway,
he enjoyed the show this week, the previous week about Hatch. He loves how Hatch always addresses tough issues with openness and honesty. He respects the segment and the host. He listens every month. That said...
Okay. But isn't Hatch a meat market?
He wanted to make a quick comment about the bisexuality issue and the prejudice we so often still receive. I'm glad the ones who have negative feelings about bisexuals were honest enough to say so and explain how they felt. No progress will ever be made if people are afraid to admit how they feel, even the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a common misconception that a bisexual can just easily go back to socially accepted and approved, that he or she doesn't have to live in the heat of discrimination. That's true, but only if they stay in the closet, hide who they are, lie, etc.
Mm-hmm.
An open and honest bi is still a fag to the world.
Yeah.
Even if I'm with a woman, I will have the same discrimination if I say I like NCSI because a Mark Harmon is hot than a gay man would be for admitting that. To the straight community, a rooster licker is a rooster licker.
What is that?
I'm not allowed to say the other word. That's another term for rooster.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Let me put a little explanation on that. In our society, you can have sex with 10,000 women, but suck one cock, and
that's it.
You are a faggot for life.
True.
You know, and
using the rooster analogy.
No, I just now have to skip ahead two lines because that's exactly what he says.
Oh, sorry, Tigger.
I thought you hadn't read that letter.
I didn't.
Sleep with 1,000 men and sleep with 1,000 women and one man. Admit you enjoyed the man and you're a fag. Period.
Right.
Pretty much.
And you wouldn't believe how often, even in here, I hear homophobes with no shame in discriminating against homosexuals. Say things regarding a flaming man who couldn't hide if he wanted to, or that he at least had to respect the punk for being out there and not being in hiding. I agree, but the implication to someone like myself who these guys can talk to for a little while without realizing that they're dealing with a gay or a bi man just because he's not flaming. Claiming obvious all the time is that we are in hiding, undercover and somewhat a threat. See, they are tricked into liking and associating with us because we are we may not prefer our answer to the football question with, "Before I answer, let me make sure you all know I like guys. Yes, I think the Texans can go 8-8 this season. I don't hide in here anymore. I'm out. Everyone who knows me knows I'm bi. It's not always the first thing I tell about my sexuality. It need not be necessarily come up in a conversation about Barry Bonds in Good Places to Eat in New Orleans, etc. Okay, but in the latter case, I may say I had a great muffalata during Southern Decadence. I don't think you go to Southern Decadence to eat a muffalata.
Well, that depends on what a muffalata is code for. Anyway.
Well, muffalata.
Guys would have to be pretty observant to even know what Southern Decadence is.
Oh, I know what Southern
Decadence is.
But they may not know what Southern Decadence is.
Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Or they've already spoken 5 or 10 minutes.
Take us like 2 steps ahead.
I know.
My point is, we who aren't obvious, gay and bi, are dangerous to the homophobic and therefore hated. Liking women only makes that worse because it makes us that much harder to spot. The women are afraid you'll leave them for what they aren't.
Do we need to be spotted out? Is someone trying to point us out what's going on?
Hell, I mean, Bonnie's afraid. His wife's not afraid. She's gonna go sleep with a guy just because he thinks it's fun or might enjoy it or whatever.
Well, you see,
I know I enjoy sleeping with a guy.
On the internet, I found two kinds of bisexual men. There's bisexual, a guy will do in a pinch when the girl won't put out. And there's the true bisexual, a man who enjoys sex with both.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know, 9 times out of 10, I find the one who's, you know, bi, a guy will do in a pinch.
Well, there's a whole spectrum of bisexuality, but we're going off on a tangent, and Chris wants to finish this letter.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, you
were saying. The women are afraid you'll leave them for what they aren't, a man, and vice versa. So straight women and gay men alike will choose to avoid relationships with bisexuals.
Oh, yeah.
Purely because of the bisexuality. I suspect lesbian fantasies notwithstanding. The same is true of straight men and lesbians with bi females. And if I had a dollar for every gay person who accused me of being unable to accept myself and simply be afraid to admit I'm really gay...
Oh, I know.
After all, how could I truly love both and not be in denial like they were when they had their horrendous experience with a woman? I've been able to...
He probably put horrendous...
Afford a Cochrane lawyer and pull an OJ by buying my freedom at last. LOL. When four guys beat the crap out of me in the Montrose in the mid-80s, they didn't ask if I was gay or only bi. I seriously doubt if they would have cared.
Right.
If you're open, you're open. And you'll catch flack. Even if you happen to be in a socially accepted heterosexual relationship at the time. Sure, I can get married if I fall in love with a woman. But if, as I have in the past, fallen for a man, my last serious relationship with a man lasted over 2 years, I ain't getting married anymore. I'm sorry. I can't get married any more than the other gay man. Bisexuality is a true orientation, just like every man who sleeps with a woman isn't necessarily straight.
True.
Now, everyone who sleeps with both sexes is always bi. But it's not always a way to hide on a transition from orientation to another to be bisexual.
That's right.
I have been this way since my first attractions and crushes. I have never had a preference for one sex over the other. In some ways, it's made my life easier and safer than the average gay, I admit. But in other ways, I feel more hate and prejudice and rejection. We need to work together and accept each other for who we are. Say, isn't it the point behind the rainbow?
Yep, and that's the whole reason we have the bisexual segment.
See, that's why I stay away from them.
And the parade.
Stop.
What? Okay, I'll shut up now. keep up the great shows coming in.
But more power to the bisexual people.
Okay,
thank you.
More power to the bisexual people, but I don't want to be with a bisexual guy.
Why not?
Because...
You're afraid of getting left for a woman, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't want to be left for a woman. I'd rather be left for a guy than a girl.
Wait, I think Tigger just went there.
You know, if a bisexual falls in love, they fall in love with the person.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
And if you're in love with a person, you're in a relationship with a person, then you're focused on that person.
Mm-hmm.
You may still think other people are attractive, but you're in a relationship, and mm-hmm. that's who you...
You know, and there's some people who have three-way bisexual relationships.
So why are you worried about... Who's going to leave for who?
I mean, if you're not the person they want to be with, man or woman, whoever they leave you for,
doesn't
they're still going to leave you
for
that
person.
Yeah.
If the person is gay or not.
A guy or a girl, they're gay or straight, bi, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Me and David, we have a relationship like that. Well, me and him is the main focal.
Mm-hmm.
We love each other because we love each other, not because of the sex or anything else. It's because we have this bond. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go out and fool around with other women or whatever. He go out and fool around with other men. And we always come back together because we trust each other that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's one of the things you have to look at and grow with and understand there. Because I've chatted with this one guy online and have met up with him a couple of times, and we recently got together this past week.
Listen,
and he's married.
Mm-hmm.
To a woman, mm-hmm. wedding ring and all. And we were talking afterwards, mm-hmm. and he had his concerns about being with men and, you know, with disease and all that, and playing safe and all the other parts in that. And it took a while to explain to him just some of the basic parts of being in this community and part of that. And like I made the comment to him, I said, you realize that you can't donate blood. And he goes, huh? And I said, because the way the rules are written, there you are what they refer to as an MSM. A man who has sex with men. And I go, you're not allowed to do that. Even with what you're thinking, it suddenly had dawned on him that although he does find men attractive and does play with them on occasion, but it's one of those things that, you know, the wife's away, so he can play a little bit more openly about it. And having this guy trying to figure out this stuff of, well, how do I play in this, in his mind, this, you know, this dangerous society of everyone being sick and dying, and because that's how they feel of what they see in there. So he's, you know, he was really concerned about this stuff, and we sat and we talked for a while. And, you know, it's part of that, you know, that little bit of limbo that he has there. He's got the attraction, but how do you act upon it with the community?
How do you explore those avenues?
Yeah.
Right.
But then again, of course, then I turned around and told him, I said, you know, my standard line about bisexual men is, you know, I don't care if you take your pole fishing, just don't bring it back smelling like bait.
Well, I can see your point there.
I've never heard that.
And
I like that one.
And, you know, I mean, I've been with several guys who do say they're bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never, you know. I'm not interested in being with a female. Not since
many moons ago.
Elementary school.
There you go.
But it's one of those things, you know. I can see where people can have that attraction. Papa,
I was just. Something caught me in what you said there. For someone who doesn't really get bisexuality, or there was a part of that sentence that said something about, you know, disease and, you mm-hmm. know, the dangers of, you have dangers being with a woman. If you're
exactly.
a straight guy, you can still transmit diseases to each
oh,
other.
Yeah.
That kind of thing just makes me a little crazy on that level. But what I don't understand, you know, people are willing to accept there are gay people. People are willing to accept there are lesbians. People are willing to accept there are straight people. But they can't accept the idea that there's another group who likes both.
Yes.
Who doesn't care.
Truly one way or
you know.
Well, then also.
And it's, you know, and it's like, you know, I have lots of friends who are bisexual. You know, a very close friend of mine happens to be bisexual. But
I think the people that they say you think of who hope the most for bisexuality is the parents of gay men and lesbians.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because they want that brief nugget of hope.
Of hope. That's how they're going to have grandkids
somewhere down the line.
Because, I mean, how many gay men here have
that's
ever
mine.
Had a parent go, you don't find her at least a little bit attractive?
Oh, that's my mother every day.
There's that little, you know. So the biggest believers in bisexuality is the parents of gay men and lesbians.
Absolutely. I agree. As I never have to hear anybody ask, am I a top or a bottom ever again, I'm good.
So, Merla, are you a top or a bottom?
Stop, Virgin.
Shut up, Virgin. Don't make me have to kill you.
No, wait, I'd like to hear this one.
He's a top.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I told my father when he asked. I'm a top, but it's none of your damn business.
There you go.
I mean, Merlin's one of the only people I know who can take both feet and put them over his head and still have everything else function for him to be a top.
Oh my goodness.
It's almost as bad as you go to Craigslist and you see all these guys 7, 8, 9 inches and I'm a bottom.
Why?
It's like, why are you?
It's
no.
really fun to suck on.
Like, that's kind of wrong, man.
I know it is.
Here we go.
Oh my goodness, Marla.
Or they send out the picture of the equipment in full erect status, you know?
Yeah.
You think they're top, but it's
for
like
somebody to top them.
And you're like, holy Jesus, what are you going to
do? All right. We're coming to the end.
rare that time, isn't it? It's about that time.
Yes. It's been fun. Yes. It's been real. Yes,
it Thank God I need a break.
Yes, we do. All right, make your final comments, and then I'll do the spiel and then play the PSAs.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Buona notte. Blessed be.
See you next week.
See you next
time. Happy birthday, Marcus Garvey.
Remember to do your part to control the pet population. Get your pets spayed or neutered.
If Snap would come over here right now, you can have Alex.
Sorry. Tribute to Bob Bark. I had to.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. If you want to get in touch with us, we take email at afterhours@kpft.org. You can send us your snail mail at After Hours Care of KPFT Houston, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. Not just a zip code, but a life. We want to hear from you. News articles, story ideas, love mail, hate mail, dirty pictures. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Messerschmitt World Domination Happy Hour. Don't stand in the free fire zone. Here it is, your PSAs.
The nomination period for candidates to KPFT's board has begun, and this announcement is our special encouragement to you living in Houston's diverse ethnic communities to run this election and for everyone to vote. KPFT's unique model supports listener and volunteer membership on our local board of directors. Board members assist in fundraising, outreach, and governance at KPFT, but you must be a member to run and vote, and your deadline to be a member is coming up fast, August 31st. For details on the election, visit kpft.org. Our bylaws created local committees of inclusion for each Pacifica Foundation station to, among other tasks, monitor the diversity of board election candidates and work to improve the diversity of board election candidates at the local and national level. Your involvement will make a difference. The nomination period is now open and closes on September 25th. Visit kpft.org for nomination procedure. This announcement is brought to you by our Committee of Inclusion at KPFT Houston.
In the early morning hours of Monday, August 13th, an unknown person fired a gun from a passing vehicle into the studios of KPFT, narrowly missing a volunteer DJ. I'm KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley, and I want to thank you for your thoughts and prayers. This incident has drawn international attention and prompted important discussions about free speech and violence. The needed security upgrades could cost KPFT tens of thousands of dollars. Visit kpft.org and click on the link on our front page to donate to help our efforts. Again, that's kpft.org to make a contribution in this difficult time. This crime remains unsolved. If you have any information that could lead to the arrest of the individual or individuals responsible for this felony, Crime Stoppers is offering up to a $5,000 reward. Call 713-222-TIPS. KPFT will continue to broadcast the programming you enjoy and will always be Radio for Peace. I'm Dwayne Bradley, and this is KPFT Houston.
Stay tuned for the Messerschmitt World Domination Happy Hour here at KPFT Houston. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.